This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
All righty, there you go. We got to start with a little NorCal. See, there you go. That's a NorCal coin right there as we start off hour number three of the program. Lend a helping fin. There you go, NorCal. Nice job by you. Gave me this at a get-together a couple of years ago. Nice job by him. Nice job by Manny Navarro. We got hour number three. We are ready to rock. Hope you guys are all good out there. Omar Kelly will be joining us in about 10 minutes, something like that. Somewhere in that area, 7 to 10 minutes. He'll be on with us, rocking and rolling. UNC is going to destroy the Canes up there. I don't know about destroy, but they got a nice quarterback, that's for sure. Two out of the 32 starting QBs, not bad for a region of 6 million people. Yes, yes. But I think his point is, right now you got Teddy and you got Lamar, but you don't really get a lot overall is what he's saying. You know, coming out of South Florida, you don't really get a ton of quarterbacks. So that's what it is. So I guess that's what he meant. Because you look over time, we're not really known for quarterbacks. We're not really known for a ton of offensive linemen, for lack of a better word. That's kind of been the norm. It's more skill positions that you're more rich at down here. That's kind of the way it goes. And that's what I think he was meaning by than anything else. Of course, you can pick those two young guys. And really, it's, you know, Teddy's all right. And, you know, Lamar's dealing with a back issue now. He's dealing with all kinds of injuries and stuff. And one thing I would tell Lamar is, and I'll keep telling it to him, learn how to pass from the pocket, kid. You'll take less hits. You want to keep being a running quarterback, you're going to pay the price. And that's gold right here in this league. That's money in the bank. You want to be a running quarterback? All right. Well, your days are numbered. That's all. Eventually, somebody's going to break you in half. So that's the one thing. But I get it. Lamar cannot play from the pocket. You know, he can occasionally pass from the pocket because he's an athlete, but he has not been able to learn how to play from the pocket on an every down basis. That would save his body. It's tough enough being a quarterback, but if you're going to run, you know. So Drew Booth says, the guy lost me buying a Herbert shirt. Well, maybe he's not a Dolphin. I mean, not everybody in town's a Dolphins fan. You got to understand that, all right? Some people grow up being a fan of another person. And maybe he has Herbert as a keeper. I don't know. I got to ask him that next time. So that happens. Some people, they become fans of some of their own fantasy players. It has nothing to do even with their favorite team. They might be a Dolphins fan, but man, they love what Saquon Barkley's been doing for their team. Not whether he's kicking ass or not, that has nothing to do with it. But I'm just saying, whoever, any player around the league that you pick, and he's helping you win your fantasy. I've seen guys that are, you know, pumped up about it, and they want to buy a shirt or a jersey for the player that's helping them in their fantasy league. And, you know, it's not that they're a fan of the team. They're a fan of that player because that player is helping their fantasy team win. That happens a lot, actually, in fantasy. There are big-time fans of fantasy that want to, like, hey, man, you know, this guy's helping me win every week. I'm going to buy a shirt of his. I'm going to buy a jersey of his. Big O, what is your opinion if they continue to go with Austin Jackson at this point, covering up for a first-rounder? Yes. Yes. They are pulling a Dave Wannstedt. Justify your pick. That happened a lot under the Dave and Rick Spielman regime. When they'd make a bad selection, they would continue playing that bad selection in order to justify it, i.e. Eddie Moore, i.e. what was the name of the bad corner? That was he was a zone guy. Fletcher, Jamar Fletcher. So Jamar Fletcher was a zone guy. They played man on man. They draft a zone guy that can't play man on man. And then they try to play him in the man on man and he fails. And to his credit, he then went on to have a half decent NFL career as a zone corner. So Fletcher did end up catching on, but he was like on Detroit for a couple of years. I think he went to another team also, but it was zone schemes, which is something that he fit a lot more than man on man. But, you know, that's what you used to do down here. Take guys that didn't fit your system. That never really made a lot of sense. But what are you going to do? All right. Remember, 855-912-1056. If you want to get in on the program, that's 855-912-1056. If you want to get in on the text line, we've got it there set up for you, of course. If you want to make a donation, Cash App or Venmo, Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Let's see. Big O, thanks for getting back to me, my brother. 45 years old, a fan since 1989. My biggest memory was Marino's spike game with Leon Lett. Do we have any hope on the horizon for the Dolphins anytime soon before I die? Give me the bottom line. I am still going to go with yes, man. I'm not ready to give up on Greer and Flo, man, and Tua. Just not. I'm not. I know some of you have, but I still have hope for these guys to figure it all out. So I hope that answers your question. I would not play Tua. He won't last. He'd have to get rid of the ball in 1.5 seconds. Well, sir, you have to play him. He also says, watched all 22 for Finns of all Finns game. Jackson is either not showing up for practice or is just plain dumb. Horrible balance, horrible hand placement, doesn't know who to block. Flores not playing his best five. He's playing because he's a first rounder. Well, you know what? If he continues, you're right. But I think he's given him enough time that you've got to already start making a change. Oh, seize the day, live the weekend, Fins up. That's James in the DR. Thank you, James in the DR. I love you, brother. Appreciate you as always, keeping it locked and supporting us in every way possible. You are awesome, sir. And have a great weekend. And may the coldest presidente be yours. Happy Friday, Big O. I'm going to see the Saints of Newark tonight. And I want to try to go see the new James Bond next week. G from Pennsylvania. I don't know what the Saints of Newark is. I'll look it up and see what the hell it is, what kind of movie. I know the Bond one. But enjoy yourself, bro. That's awesome. Have a good time, baby. Gus 1388 says from Orlando, hey, O, do you think Austin Jackson practices well going up against Phillips to warrant him starting over other tackles on the team? Well, guys, here's the thing, and I mentioned this yesterday. The other guys must be sucking in practice. If Igbinogami is not playing as a backup, then he must not be impressing in practice, right? If the other guys aren't taking over for Jackson and Jackson's bad, how bad is Greg Little then? That's what I have to ask you. I don't have that answer. But I have to try to think, or at least I'm along the lines of they must not be impressing in practice either. Because you've got to somehow earn his trust by doing something in practice. Like I told you, Albert Wilson has earned a spot on this roster from those 10 days in practice. And he still hasn't done anything. So it tells me that Noah must not be practicing well enough that they trust him. He must be making mistakes in the classroom, must be making mistakes on the field. And if Jackson continues to start, then they must feel that the people behind Jackson are even worse. That's the only way I can look at that situation. If you're not going to anybody else and you keep playing the same guy that's a constant failure, then you're telling me that that's the best you got, dude. And that's scary. Florence's stubbornness will be his demise. I mean, we shall see. He might change this week. You don't know. I mean, none of us really know. Tyler Gubala says, happy Friday, Big O. If the Dolphins can pressure Brady on Sunday, that's our only chance to throw his game off. I agree. You got to pressure him. You're not going to confuse him. So you're right. You got to flat out pressure him. He can't move great, so make him uncomfortable by moving. If he has to move and reset, that's when he's not at his best. But if you let him sit back there and plan and look around, you're done. Cody Douglas says, wow, I got a ton of shib, and I've not checked in a few days. Nice. There you go, Cody. There you go. Nothing wrong getting a little shib and scoring on a little shib action. Let me see where shib is at right now. I'm doing a little refresh. Ooh, doggy. Shib up to 29. 4.000029. Hey, man, listen, for those of us that got it at 0.000005 or 06 and it's up to 29, trust me, we're happy. That's four times your money. On five, you're almost six times your money. Oh, Lordy. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Let's hope this run is for real with Sheba. That's the thing that we don't know with Sheba, man. I don't have the same kind of confidence. Like, Polygon has exploded today, shot up almost to 140. It's at 139 right now. That's also been shooting up. You know what's been shooting up too? A coin that I'm big on is crypto.com's coin Crow. It's almost at 20 cents. It's at 19.26 now. But that is pretty good. It's actually held strong the last month and a half. It's held really strong. And it looks to me like, you know, over the next couple of months, it's gonna start soaring up a little bit. That's one that I've got invested in, and that's one that I plan to use as currency down the line. That's the way I look at that one. Noah could still turn it around, so can Jackson. It would be nice if they did. Yes, you're right. Still too early to quit on any of these young men. All right, let's do this. Let's get ready for a little Omar Kelly and the EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report. That, my friends, is next.
For over 16 years, EJDConstruction.com has provided South Florida residents quality craftsmanship, accurate project management, and exceptional service. That's why EJDConstruction.com is an A-rated member of Angie's List and the Better Business Bureau. When you're looking for the right custom home builder for additions or home remodeling, please call my friend Eric at 305-433-4843. That's 305-433-4843 for EJDConstruction.com.
The viewpoints, statements, or beliefs expressed on the following program by the host, guests, or callers are not necessarily the opinions of FantasyXS.com, Media Group, Inc., ownership, management, sponsors, or website. The Big O Radio Show is home for the hardcore Dolphins fan. That's why we give you Omar Kelly twice a week. Buckle up. It's time for the EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins Report, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show.
All right, there he is. What's that, a mask or something under?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
I gotta be masked up in here. So,
hey man, I got no problem with that. I completely understand. It's the world we live in right now until we can get through this damn pandemic.
Yeah,
we got to adjust and protect each other, man. That's all. That's what it's all about. I got no problem with that. All right. I thought it was a really cool thing to hear that Preston Williams is in a good place mentally and physically, knowing that Will Fuller is out and you really need a playmaker. I would really like to see this young man, you know, get back on the field and start to show us some of the stuff that he did in his first year when he was really wowing all of us with his potential. Your thoughts on Preston Williams? What, you didn't like his potential?
I thought that in his first year, Dolphin fans got a little bit overhyped, a little bit crazy. He was having some strong camps, partly fueled by Ryan Fitzpatrick and his ability to put it up and give you an opportunity to go get it. Then Dolphin fans got all hot and bothered and frustrated that he was returning punts and got injured on returning a punt. Then they're like, oh, he's too talented to return a punt. Why is he back there? You know,
he's also not good enough to be returning punts.
He's actually pretty good at it. He's actually pretty good at it. He has
for a big dude. Yeah. But he shouldn't be returning punts. That's he's not supposed to be your best punt returner.
We also have him to our best punt returner.
But what I'm saying is you should be able to find somebody else, even if it's not Jakeem. Somebody. Okay.
Yeah.
Preston Williams.
That was. Did you pour out a little liquor for Jakeem? Say, huh? Hey, listen, they got a 2023 sixth. You wouldn't take a fifth. Do you remember those days? You wouldn't take a fifth.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. But once he stops dropping, once he starts dropping special teams punts, you can't defend.
Hey, listen, Jakeem dropped everything. Jakeem dropped everything. Let's be real about it.
He was terrible as a wide receiver. The problems weren't that bad as a returner, but
watch him start playing well for Justin Fields. And the reason I say this is because
wake up call. Why not?
Yeah, I mean you're on your last lifeline in the NFL. Right. You don't start producing right this very minute, your time is over.
Right.
Somebody younger and more talented. So, you know, I wish him the best of luck. You know, everybody knows we had our beef. We had our issues. But, you know, my issues were always Jakeem double catches everything, like from day one. And I don't rock with that as a receiver and a returner. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
All right, but back to Preston Williams. How much could he help? If he's healthy, I guess
He's not going to be your savior.
I didn't say savior. I said, you know, you need somebody else to be consistent on the other side of the damn field.
Yeah, no.
You got no Will Fuller. I mean, you know, so that's why I'm asking. What do you think? You're not as hopeful of him helping then.
No. It could happen. I just don't think Preston has, you know, mentally what it takes to thrive in the NFL. I mean, I've seen him dominate practice, and then it gets to game time, and then he's AWOL. He's nowhere to be found. And you know, I'm like, why is this not translating to the games? And if you paid attention to what this team's problem is, it's you know, whatever you're doing is not translating to the games. And that's been Preston's issue. Preston dominated camp, just looked like a beast. Then we got to the games and it was like, yo, where is this dude? And, you know, he played one game, good game against Arizona, and then gets hurt and it's bye-bye. So, you know,
year wasn't as productive or didn't show us as much.
And he killed it in camp. I'm more interested.
And remember, X also said this guy has number one talent too.
Which is not
the kind of fluff that you normally just throw around.
Yeah, X also loves Kirk Merritt. So, like, put it where.
So do I, by the way. I love Kirk Merritt, too. I think I like what I saw from Kirk Merritt. I got no problem with that. Maybe X has got a little personnel in him down the line. Who knows?
I still hold out hope for Albert Wilson. It's not a long lifeline because we're here now at week four. The stuff that we saw early in training camp, like, where the hell is it? Now, that was with Tua. It wasn't with Jacoby. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But
well, maybe it could be resurrected. Maybe it could be resurrected next week when he comes back.
But if you're expecting somebody to come and save this team, Calvary's not coming. Yeah.
No. This has to be people not committing penalties and not dropping balls and not fumbling and making your blocks.
I think Preston,
you know, all that kind of stuff will save this team.
I think Preston, this is why I have an issue with Preston, because I think him and Devontae Parker play the exact same role, the exact same position, and I think you can only have one of them on the field at the same time to make this offense work. And now Devontae is battling an injury. I could definitely – the talk today was totally bigging up Preston, and props to them for doing it because, you know, hey, sometimes these guys struggle with things mentally just as much as they struggle with things physically. And, yeah, let's talk him up. But, you know, the end result has to be him going out there and producing on game day. And
yeah.
I can tell you the list is very short of guys who produce on game day.
Yeah, but he's still young, man. So I'm not.
I hate when people say that, and I'm at the point because we said that we made that excuse for the offensive line all offseason. That's what we did.
They are still young.
Yeah, still young and not talented. Like, make sure you add that caveat at the end of it.
Because they only have 1 year, and another guy's a rookie. So
still young and not talented. Not very talented. Not very good. They're the talent deficient.
There's a lot of guys that don't look talented and not very good,
and they get that shit done. They get it done. You're right.
And then they figure it out. So
okay,
I can't say that, you know, they're all going to look like this for the rest of their careers. I'm just not ready here. Speaking of those positions, first of all, let's start off with the O-line. Are you expecting any changes? Do you think they'll try the Austin Jackson route one more time? What are you hearing? What are you feeling? What's your gut tell you?
I am expecting changes.
I know you wrote an article about all the changes you want, but go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not shy about it. You know me. I'm not shy about it.
No, I get it. I got no problem with that.
And you know, I'm sorry, but I think I've seen. I said to you a month ago, I said after Austin struggled in the Buffalo Bills game, what second game of the season was who?
What game hasn't he struggled?
Well put. Excellent. Well put. I said, you know, until Tua comes back, you've got a 3-game audition at left tackle. And I'm still committed to that 3-game audition. So let's carry this over one more game. Let's give it one more shot. But
this might be a shot with a short hook, right?
I don't know.
No?
Listen, okay. I don't know. To me, all of this team's issues, every single issue, begins and ends with the offensive line. The reason why your running game isn't working, because you can't have your top two backs on the field because they can't pass protect. The reason why your pass game not working, you're very limited in how you use Mike Gesicki because he can't pass protect. Okay, well, if you had a line that could pass protect better, then that helps address some of that. Your quarterback, he's not looking downfield. He's not throwing big. He's not finding open receivers. Yeah, because every time he snaps the ball, his head's on a swivel because people are coming. You know, like, tell me what play people are not coming. So
when he hands it off.
So, you know, and to me, the line issues, yeah, you just lost your starting center, but the line issues start with the left side because the left side is the weaker side, and you got to get Austin Jackson to play better. If you can't get Austin Jackson to play better, you should put Liam in there at left tackle, possibly put Try Jesse at right tackle or Try Jesse at right guard and put Hunt at right tackle. I don't care that everybody will be moving. Let's not hold on. Let's not act like what you're doing isn't hot shit. Because it's hot shit.
But I just want to try to just to kind of defend what maybe they're trying to do. And maybe they think Eichenberg is their best guy.
Yeah. Okay. No question. And in the end, it's a lefty.
So no matter what, and maybe that's why he says that. And Eichenberg, probably Notre Dame guy, really smart. Is there, no, I want to stay at right tackle. No, I'm good. Because on this team, you're really the left tackle at right.
Man, worry about.
So maybe they're already convinced that Eichenberg is their best guy, and they're like, okay, well, if he's our best guy and our guy's a lefty, then we got to keep him at right tackle and let him learn there, and then we'll figure out on the left side with everybody else. That's the only thing I can think of, Omar, why they haven't
I hear you, and I've thought it out, and I've asked the position coaches. I've spoken to John Pierre, and he pointed out that, you know, all teams have good ends on both sides. So it's not, yes, the right tackle is protecting Tua's blind side, but the left tackle faces the best pass rusher on your team.
Yes.
And if you're just getting beat with the left tackle all game long, you're in for a long day.
Yeah.
A very long day. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not opposed to leaving Liam there. And then I guess that means playing either Greg Little or Jesse Davis at left tackle, which I don't like either of those options. I could figure out the Liam situation later, but right now I might need him to patch up my left side of my line.
But where'd the injury come from? The blind side.
They call Jesse slipping, but you know what?
That's my point, that your quarterback did not see that coming, and he got absolutely nailed. So even if you're weak on the left side.
He didn't see sacks coming from the left side, too. Sacks was coming from they was just coming.
Know, but they're coming, but he's got a chance at seeing it, at least from the left side.
He's got great pocket presence.
A chance to react. So I'm just thinking that this is what I've come to, that they're convinced Eichenberg's their best guy, and they're like, well, we're going to put him on the most desperate part we need is on the right side, which is why our guy is out right now, because he got blindsided with a monster hit. So now let's protect his blind side with our best alignment. And I think that's their thinking. That's the only.
It could be their thinking, but it's the wrong thinking in my mind. And I'm more focused on patching your troublesome leak. And it's easier to use Eichenberg to patch your troublesome leak and then go address the right side. I'm sorry, you could put Hunt out there at right tackle. He was good last year at right tackle. Now you claim you need him for the run game, so you put him at right guard. Okay,
but
great.
If he's excelling at guard,
how's your run game doing?
Yep. But we can't complain about moving guys around, and then when there's a guy that's actually settling on his position, then we move him out. You know what I'm saying? And I know what you're saying, because what you're saying makes a lot of sense, because Hunt has legit tackle talent.
Yeah.
You're not using him to help you out. He actually can be a right tackle permanently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But again, and here's the other thing. Short quarterbacks, your guards and your center have to be so rock solid, because those are the guys that are going to keep the passing lanes, you know, clean for him.
Possibly.
And that's kind of what they did in New Orleans a lot.
Okay.
In New Orleans, they didn't really spend big money on their tackles. They would draft them even late, like Teron Armstead and stuff like that, and out of small schools. But if you noticed throughout the Brees tenure, they drafted high their centers and their guards, or they went after them in free agency and paid a lot of money. They spent most of their money in the middle. Why? They could not have the pocket crumble for a short quarterback. They could not have the pocket crumble for the passing lanes. So I don't know if they're also thinking along the same lines that it's imperative for a shorter quarterback to have real strength in the middle of that line so he can sit in the pocket and he can have a clean pocket at the same time.
You know what you should be thinking if you're George Gotze and Eric Stutzel? You should be thinking, how do I not get fired at the end of the year? That's where your focus should be. And how do I not, like, take away 60% of my playbook because I can't protect the quarterback and I can't run the ball? Yeah, that's what you should be thinking, because both of you are going to get fired at the end of the year.
Yeah, but it's not their fault. It's not their fault.
What's not their fault?
It's Flo's fault.
What's
okay? Let me run this by you.
Okay.
So Flo thought that you would get a rookie quarterback that's inexperienced and injury prone, and you're going to put him behind a rookie line that's inexperienced, and you're going to use a rookie offensive line coach that has really never built his own great line ever to then be run by offensive coordinators who have never had any kind of great success and developed any kind of great offense. So the fact that there is no experience, no success top to bottom on offense, and you expect that to succeed. Think about that.
Don't just put that on Flo, because the person.
That's Flo's decision. Those are his coaches. He chose to go with those kind of coaches.
He chose the coordinators and the position.
And by the way, he chose to have that young line, because it's him that says, I don't want Karras. It's him that says, no, I don't want the other guy that's in Washington. We can coach these guys up. There's no way the GM is telling him, I'm giving you these young guys.
Personnel decisions. The team turns over to Flores during training camp. Greer is accountable, responsible. He will tell you this. He will say this.
Of course, he's going to say it.
It doesn't matter. That's on me. And he's made the personnel moves, not Flores. So when that trade was made, when all trades are made, it's not Brian Flores on the phone. It's Chris Greer.
So why do you think Jacoby Brissett is here?
Because they sat down in their team meetings.
Who do you think brought him in? You think
they sat down in their team's meetings and they said, okay, here's our viable options for backup centers at the price point that we're gonna go to. These are what our draft options look like. Let's not use our draft options. You've got a relationship with Jacoby. Can he run this offense? Is he good? Is he smart? Is he a leader? Yeah. Okay, how much do you think he's worth? Okay, he's worth this. Is he better than all the other options that are out there?
That's Flo's call, dude. That's Flo's call.
No, that's Flo's call. That's not how this organization works.
Flo's call is Eric Rowe.
That's not how this organization works. That's not how this organization works.
Flo's call is Kyle Van Noort.
That's not how this organization works.
Dude, there's too many New England players here.
That's not how this organization works. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. But that's not how this organization works.
Flo and Adam Gase are doing the same shit. They're bringing in people that they know that they're comfortable with.
Every coach does that.
I know that.
Spano did that.
Well, that's Philbin what I'm saying. But these guys are doing it.
I don't blame anything from the Patriots players that are here. Patriots players helped you establish culture. While none of them might be very good anymore. Last year, it was your culture that dug you out of a 1-3 hole, right? Was it not? Let's be real about it.
No, young players too stepping up. Guys like Van Ginkel helping you out.
The culture has to be established.
Yes,
it was your culture that played a significant role in you digging yourself out of 1-3 hole and finishing 10-6. Yet that culture was formulated by a lot of former Patriots players.
Yeah, but that culture, like you said, and you're the first guy to say it, Kyle Van Noy did not play well.
I don't believe in culture.
Culture doesn't mean shit if Kyle Van Noy is not playing well.
Yeah, I'm not a big culture guy, but I can't sit here and blame Flores for bringing former Patriots players when it's that look,
personnel goes on both guys, on Greer and Flores.
Absolutely. I will never hold both of them accountable for what we're seeing.
They both are held accountable, but my point is the New England players, the influence comes from him. There's all no
the influence comes from him. I'm sorry, if you know the individuals involved, you know Chris Greer, you know Chris Greer's going to take a backseat to whoever he's working with.
Yes.
And he's going to deliver. He's going to deliver who you want.
Right.
So,
yes.
But that doesn't mean that Chris Greer is the H person in charge, head person in charge. Like,
yes.
It all stops with him. So
yes.
I can't sit here and say, oh, well, Brian Flores is responsible for this.
But he is responsible for his offensive coordinators. He is responsible for his offensive line coach. He is responsible for having all the youth and inexperience that he has offensive side. And that's why there's that much failure, because there is nothing that's established on offense right now. It wasn't a good plan. It was a terrible plan. You should have had a couple of veteran linemen in there to help out. You didn't do that. You
know, They did, and then they got rid of them, which I don't understand. One is injury. The other is a trade. You give money away, and the guy's starting 4 games for Washington. Listen, you're right. They made this mess. It is a mess. Who sat here 2 months ago and told you it was going to be a mess?
You did.
I did.
Yes.
It was very predictable, but it was predictable from the start because the players that they were investing in were not that talented. I told you from the beginning, Austin Jackson ain't that talented.
He might be talented. He may not be good enough, but he might be talented.
He's talented.
May not know how, he may not know how to put it together. You know what I'm saying? But, and by the way, when you see him out there on the podium, does it look to you like he's a guy that's pissed off enough about his play?
Yeah, because that's another thing I had some long before I wrote my column about, basically saying Austin Jackson needs to be playing left guard. If we want to preserve his career, he
might
needs
as well
to be
try playing him left there.
He needs a fresh start in a new position that's a little bit easier and a little bit more suited for his skill set. And I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, and it probably does. But I'm looking for the longevity of finding the solutions to what is wrong with this team. And that's generally what's wrong with this team. I know right now they got a center who's got an injured neck playing against Ndamukong Suh, who you know is going to mess up his neck intentionally. So he'll grab the neck and twist it because he's Ndamukong Suh. There are little fires every single Sunday that Flo has to put out. And the problem is when the fire is on the offensive line, it turns into a forest fire. It just does. So no matter what, so my thing is, let's shore up some areas. Like, we know Eichenberg, Hunt, Davis are good players. I know everybody wants to. Jesse Davis got the quarterback hurt. Oh my God, Jesse Davis sucks. Well, I'm sorry. Jesse Davis is generally reliable, consistent. Just give me reliable and consistent.
He has to start on this team. It's not like you've got a bunch of studs and then you can say, yeah, Jesse's your sixth guy. On this team, he's your best lineman right now.
I watched him today. Work with guys on technique and things of that nature, because I think he's, I think he's on the move again. And it is what it is. You can't keep doing the same thing expecting, and that was part of my column, you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. That's like the definition of insanity. And I know they're not going to have a consistent starting unit on the line. I really do believe that.
And again, to be fair, you chose to go so young all over the line, and they're all not established. This is actually part of the world of offensive linemen. There are lots of offensive linemen that come in as centers and end up as guards, guards that end up centers, tackles that end up guards, guards that end up tackles. And you just didn't see it coming. That's just the way it is. That happens all the time in the history of the NFL. Lots of linemen play a completely different position than they start in college. Yeah. That happens all the time. The problem is, dude, you four young linemen, it's just too much. Nobody does that kind of crazy ass stuff. You usually have two or three.
I'm sure there's somebody who's done it. I'm sure there's somebody.
And I'm sure it was a disaster. Unless all four of them were like, you know.
I think the Patriots one year they did three, not four, but three.
And they had the greatest offensive line coach in the history of the NFL. That's the difference there. Whereas this guy doesn't have that reputation. So to give him this homework is really unfair to what is it? Lampierre? How is it pronounced?
Yeah. Jean-Pierre.
It's super unfair to him. You know, this is the kind of stuff that the guy from New England, or used to be in New England, that's the guy that should be getting.
Man, wouldn't it be great to bring him in as a consultant right now?
Oh, my God. That would be phenomenal. All right, so punt returns. What happens now? I am concerned about this now. And
why?
We have talked about this. Jalen Waddle's off of foot surgery. I don't want him full-time returning. I didn't want
Flo,
him full-time
Flo
returning
says,
in the offseason.
Flo says he's going to have his best guys out there. Your best guy is Jalen Waddle. End of the conversation.
There's no way I'm arguing that. Okay? Tell me, who else is he going to use?
Oh, I think he's going to throw out some running backs and maybe Noah as a kickoff returner because nobody – return. He even said it. Nobody returns kicks anymore in the league, which I think is a crying shame.
That part I completely understand.
But you mean who else is the backup punt returner?
Yeah, who else is going to be?
Maybe Preston Williams, baby. No,
I mean, you know,
like, Preston does.
He does a solid job for a big dude, man.
He's mentioned Javon Holland, which you know, I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah, he did it. That's right. He did do it in college. Mm-hmm. That's right.
We'll see.
Will Noah be active this week because of the?
It don't matter.
Byron did practice.
Yes. Noah's issue is he can't contribute on special teams. Everybody's obsessed with Noah and why he's not playing and why he's not active. Noah's the fourth cornerback, really the fifth cornerback, and really the sixth cornerback. Because
the other guys are special teams guys.
Because the other guys are special teams guys. But I think if something happened to Xavier, no, I can't even say that with a straight face.
It would take two injuries for him to play.
Yes. And there's a kid, Elijah Campbell, who they claimed off the Jets' roster on the way. And he killed it on special teams last week. Was phenomenal. And
it's probably why he was picked up.
Yeah. He's even jumped leapfrog Noah. So, you know, I believe in Noah's talents. I'm not going to do the dog pile right now. This is a situation where just like Austin Jackson, the young man is in his head. And it's on coaches to build up the confidence and get them out their head. To the point of putting them out on the field and trusting them and giving them roles that they can handle. Right now, especially against this opponent, like if we're playing Jacksonville, I say, yeah, give Noah a try as a boundary guy. Because I think Noah's comfortable as a boundary guy, nothing else.
Evans, Godwin, and Brown, yeah, no.
Yeah. give Noah a boundary job against Trevor Lawrence, not Tom Brady. That just makes
and those three and three number one wide receivers because they're all number one wide receivers.
Yeah.
Okay. Like they could easily be number one wide. Godwin
Here's the problem that you have when you go into this lineup, and this is something that has to be discussed. Does Nick Needham have the speed to cover Antonio Brown?
Nobody has it. Nobody.
Right.
Nobody, you're not right. Not our guys, at least not our guy, not our three guys.
I mean, who do you put a healthy Byron on? Byron likes
Godwin.
Guys,
Godwin.
So I would think.
Godwin, I'm putting X on Mike Evans. I'm putting X on Mike Evans. I have to. He's the freak. I need the freak on the freak. Who the hell covers Mike Evans on this team?
X is nobody the freak.
First of all, nobody covers Mike Evans. But if somebody's going to cover Mike Evans and hang with him in the air, I got to go X, bro. There's no way.
I mean, you have to put X on the high body.
And because Godwin is such a technician running routes, I got to go Jones. And then, of course, I'm going to take my chance.
No, but Godwin's inside of the nickel. Jones isn't going inside. So you're it's Antonio or Antonio.
If he plays inside, then obviously you have no choice. Then Needham has to stay with him.
Yeah. No, if it's Nick, it could be Justin Coleman.
Every time I see Justin Coleman, Jesus Christ, dude. Kale Pectate should be the damn sponsor for the Dolphins. Why is that guy even on the team? I have a bigger problem with him than Albert Wilson.
Physicality.
I'm sorry. What did they see in Justin Coleman? I'm still trying to figure it out. I mean, he's terrible, bro. Seriously. Yeah, you're not saying anything. Why is he even still on the roster?
I always say this. I love Nick Needham from this standpoint. While he's not a super freak, Nick Needham's going to be in the league for 8 years. He's going to have a Nolan Carroll career. And Nick Needham has never been handed anything. They've never given Nick Needham anything. He's always taken it. And he's done it again this year. He's taking a job. He's taking a role. And Nick, I was talking to Gerald Alexander.
He's the Orlando Alzagiri of radio. They haven't given me shit.
They kept giving you back 560 shows. After they figured out
that they fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. You get them back.
But I still.
In my career, you are the Nick Needham of the South Florida Airways.
I have never been given a damn thing in my career. I'm not an ex-player that they hand you a job. I'm not somebody's sidekick that you can ride somebody's coattails. I'm not kissing the ass of the
program
the bosses
director.
And the program director. I can climb up like others do.
You are indeed the Nick Needham of the South Florida Airways. There is no question. You said it, and I was just like, you know what? Yeah, it fits. They have never given me anything that you didn't earn.
Nope, nothing. And you know what? I'm super happy about that. I'm glad that I've earned every damn thing I have and have had. So that's actually very satisfying.
Yeah.
Nobody got me in a Mad Dog. I don't know anybody there or nothing. They've straight out hired me. So I've never gotten any job because of a connection or anything like that. So I'm happy about that. Needham,
man, I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see Nick Needham get attacked by Tom Brady. And because you know he's going to be attacked by Tom Brady.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm excited to see how he handles himself. Like he's grown up more than a lot of players that I've seen here. You know, Nick Needham might be better than the entire 2019 draft class if you think about it. I'm excited to see what happens.
We said you can compare it to the street free agent class of Siler and Needham and Preston Williams, if you want, and just throw in a couple of those guys that they've gotten off the street, and they've been better, bro. They've been better than their draft picks.
And that's the one thing I asked Jean-Pierre, the offensive line coach, you know, about Austin's first round status. And he's like, that's the one thing about Flo. It don't matter how you got here. This is about the Dolphins. So, you know,
I like that about Jimmy Johnson was like that too. He didn't give a shit. If he screwed up on a second round pick,
they all give a shit.
No. But what I'm saying is what Jimmy didn't care about, just like Flo, it may hurt that you screwed up on the pick, but the guy that helps you win is the guy you've got to play. And ultimately, that pays off in the locker room. Because if the locker room sees that you're playing guys that don't deserve to play, you lose that effing locker room.
The one thing I will say about Joe Philbin, just piggybacking on this story, and I got to go because we're about to have availability.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I remember the Joe Philbin, end of the Joe Philbin demise, Devontae Parker's rookie year, and who was a receiver? He signed with the Titans later.
The kid with the hands.
The name escapes me, but he eventually signed with the Titans, but he was killing it all camp. And you know, the coaches and the organization wants to play Devontae. And basically the team was like, listen, if you don't, I can't believe I can't remember his name.
I like him a lot.
Yeah. He's former seventh round pick. And they were like, if you don't play him and you play this rookie, we lose all respect for you. And they ended up playing him. And he was like a couple yards. He got injured before he became a 1,000-yard receiver here.
There it is. Joseph Rodriguez got it. Rashard Matthews.
That's what players recognize and respect. When you put in the hard work and you deliver and you produce and they don't give you, you know, they don't give the starting job to the rookie because he's the rookie. They give it to the guys who produce. And, you know, that's been Nick Needham. Nick Needham, as I said, he's in the Orlando Alzigary of the radio airwaves Dolphins team. He has earned, and I'm not saying he's not going to get torched by Tom Brady, because you know Tom Brady does Tom Brady. This is the GOAT. But what I will tell you is Nick's going to have three plays that game. He's going to make three plays that game, and he might get roasted for eight. But he's going to make three plays that game, and he's going to keep fighting it. And that's the kind of spirit that you need to have a winning team.
All right, on the way out, how much was the win by the Dolphins? What was your prediction? How much did the Dolphins win by on Sunday?
I have a 28-14 Tampa Bay. And they can sneak up on – they can sneak – if they play a perfect game, and that's the thing, they have to play a perfect game, they can beat Tampa Bay. They don't have a perfect game in.
You know what article I want to read?
What's that?
I want to read one of you dudes breaking down why these former Patriot guys slowed down Tom Brady. How did Patricia beat him? How did Belichick slow him down a couple of weeks ago? How Flo beat him? Yeah, but he slowed him down with a rookie quarterback. I mean, 17-16.
Man, it was raining. Impressive. It was a monsoon.
Patricia beat him last year. Flo's beat him, what, twice?
Once.
Once. Cam. Beat him once, right? Yeah. So I'm just saying, there's something there.
I don't think there's anything there. No.
Okay. All right. Later, brother. All right, talk to you later. Be good. There you go. Omar Kelly. I think there's something there. I mean, Patricia beat him. Flo's beat him. You know, Belichick slowed him down. There's something that they see because they are familiar with him. I'm just saying. Just saying. And that was our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report.
Been listening to the EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report with Omar Kelly. For additions, home remodeling or custom work, call Eric at 305-433-4843. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
Yo, we're back. Did you guys see this? My boy K9 Star and Sarge on Twitter. If you want to follow K, it's actually Sergeant E. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. Sergeant Eli B. Not bad, right? Now, the one he did with Jesse Davis. Have you seen these things at all, Sean? Huh? Have you seen these things?
No, first time seeing it.
Okay, wait till you see the Jesse Davis one. This is funny. This is good. This is good. Here we go. And... That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Pretty good stuff, good. Man. Huh?
So they are pretty good. Pretty good.
Right? Sergeant Eli V, if you want to follow him. SGT Eli V, if you want to follow him on Twitter, because he's, I guess he's starting to do these things because he's come up with those two this past week. So if he does more, we'll share them with you. But I thought that was actually pretty cool. Good stuff there, man. So you got it there if you want. Froze up. That was a couple of minutes ago. I hope it didn't freeze up during the K9 Star and Sarge tweets of the Dolphin players. What else do we have here that I wanted to talk about? By the way, you've been watching the volcano that erupted in La Palma. You guys over in the Canary Islands. The Cumbre Vieja volcano. You've been watching this, right, Sean? The volcano shooting out all the lava and all that good stuff. Okay, so the lava went down the mountain through a city and then right into the ocean. Have you seen that, Sean? That the lava's been going into the ocean? You've watched it, right? Okay. So the island has grown now. Because so much lava and molten rock and all that crap has fallen into the ocean, it created another piece of land. Do you know how big the land is right now that it's created? Listen to this. 40 soccer fields. That's how much bigger the island is. Because of... Now... It destroyed 1,000 homes in the process. It's destroyed farms. Yeah, it's obviously caused a lot of damage. But it's interesting how, I was actually watching, I forgot the name of an island, that had a volcano underwater, and then the volcano exploded, and it started to obviously shoot out the lava and the molten rock and all that crap, and it created an entire island. Right. So now that island exists because of a volcano that created it. And so this island, same thing, it was created hundreds of millions of years ago, whatever. But now you're watching the island grow before your eyes because of the damn volcano. 40 soccer fields. And it's still growing. It's still pouring rocks and molten lava and all that crap into the ocean. So that island, that whole piece of land is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. 40 soccer fields, dude. I saw that stat and I was like, wow. Why is your feed all blurred out, brother? Looks like 3:30 in the morning after a gallon of Rum Runners. Looks good here for me. Looks good for you, right, Sean? I don't know. Oh, wait a minute. And I'm looking at it I didn't hear you there, Sean. I don't think you had your mic on.
No, I was saying your audio is good. Your video has gotten blurry. As soon as you hung up with Omar, it got a little bit blurrier.
Okay. All right. I see. I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe there's a weakness in the feed. It says still frozen up, but I can hear you. All right.
Yeah, you're not frozen.
Sorry about it freezing up.
You're not frozen on my end, but it is freezing and going in and out, but you haven't frozen completely.
Right. The audio hasn't frozen. The video is the one that there's a little funkiness going on. By the way, Shelley Meyer is off Twitter. Don't know if you guys know this, but she has chosen to get off Twitter. She's done history in the archives. She doesn't need the stress anymore, apparently. So she has chosen to get the hell off of Twitter. And she has told everybody, I am out of here. We'll see you sometime in the future. So she was all disappointed because she's been getting a lot of hate. So she says, thank you to friends, followers, fans, supporters, and all your love, funds, laughs over the years. God bless and God bless America. Peace out. This will be my last post on Twitter. Frankly, I don't need the hate, vitriol, slander, trash that will at me. This has never stopped anyway. We all make mistakes. We are all sinners. If you think you aren't, then cast the first stone. To my wonderful followers and friends, thank you for your love, support, friendship, laughs. I will miss this the most. I love you all and wish God blessings on all of you. Thank you. Hashtag faith, family, football, flamingos. P.S. I will be deleting right away as I post this, so I will not see responses. Much love. So Shelley Meyer is out, history in the archives. We all are sinners, just not to the level of Urban Meyer. Okay, we all make mistakes. We all screw up. I get it. She's right. Technically, she's right. We're just not all sinners like Urban Meyer. That's a different kind of sinner. Okay? That's just a disgusting and gross individual. That's the difference there. Right? Not that there's any decency behind it, but let's just say you really had a hankering to, you know, hook up with that blonde. Well, you know what you do? You have her go to your room. Nobody sees it, and you do your business. She leaves, and that's it. You don't thoroughly embarrass your wife publicly in the middle of a bar where you're, you know, checking her oil. So I would tell Shelley that, yes, you're right. We're all sinners. We're just not the devil like your husband is. Okay. And Cayman, Nebraska, the blonde, has now reactivated her IG account. So you can go check out Cayman, Nebraska now on Instagram. She is back on now. It is on private. So you'll see it, but you won't be able to connect at all with her. You can follow her. If she allows you in, then, you know, you can share her with Urban Meyer. So just wanted to make sure I run that by you. All right, I got to give you my picks. We are now 11-18 against the spread. We are doing terrible, seriously. My crypto picks are, you know, we're undefeated in the crypto picks. We are thoroughly defeated in our football picks. All right, so Minnesota is favored by 10, taking on Detroit. I'm going to do the unthinkable here, okay? I'm going to take Detroit plus 10 in this game. Detroit Lions are a bad team. But the Minnesota Vikings are inconsistent. They cannot be relied on. Their quarterback will give things away if possible. And I know Minnesota's better, but I'm going to take the 10 points, and I'm going to count on Campbell and company to find a way to lose by 9 or less. They're going to lose. They're going to be 0-5. But I'm going to go with Detroit keeping it somewhat close here and within 10. So I'm going to ride the Lions on this one. Packers are at the Bengals. Bengals have actually played well. I believe they're 3-1, if I'm correct. Packers are favored by 3 in this game. And I'm going to ride the Packers, man. I think the Packers are a team that they've got to start to play better as the season goes on. If they're going to do anything in this postseason, and if Aaron Rodgers really wants to finish his run in Green Bay strong, I don't think he wants to walk out the door with a losing record or some kind of a thump to end the season. I think he wants to have some success. These are the kind of games you need to take care of business. Bengals have been playing, you know, I got to give them credit. And Green Bay's defense is one that I don't trust, but I think I can trust them enough to win by 6 or 7 points. I'm going to lay the 3 here, go with the Packers on the road in Cincinnati. Bears are at the Raiders. I'm not going with the line here. I can't trust either one. The over and under is 44. What I like about this game is I think turnovers are going to play a part in this game, and turnovers are going to create points. Besides the Raiders offense and whatever the Bears can muster, and I know they're starting the Ohio State kid, which is what they should do, because he is your future, and there is no future with Andy Dalton. So that's the right move. I'm going to go over 44 here. I don't think the number's that high. I think it's enough that they can score just over that. Not by much. It's going to be a borderline call. But I'm going to go over 44 here because I think the Raiders alone are going to put somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 points on the board. They're going to get turnovers. They're going to score their points. I think they'll have some success. They're at Las Vegas. So that is also something good for the Raiders. Bills are at KC. Marquee game of the week. Obviously, best two teams in the conference. Can't stand the Bills. KC's favored by 3. I got to tell you something. I don't trust KC. I don't trust their defense. Offensively, they're inconsistent at times. They're super talented, but they have not played good football since early last season, maybe halfway through the year or something. They haven't played good football in a long time. They've been living off their talent, their Super Bowl from 2 years ago. They're not focused. They're just not. And so I'm going to take the Bills plus 3 because I think they'll either keep it close or win this game against Kansas City because I trust the Bills' defense a lot more than I trust Kansas City's defense. And I think the Bills are going to be able to punch Kansas City in the defense in the mouth, and they're going to be able to move the ball. So I'm going to take Bills plus 3 here. I think there's a good chance the Bills win this game. That's how, not that I'm rooting for the Bills. I don't want them to win. I need KC to win because I'm a Dolphins fan, and not because I'm thinking about the division or anything like that. I just don't like anybody in our division. But this is about money. This is about, you know, not your heart. This is about what you really think. And I got to tell you, man, I think the Bills are going to win the game. I'm going to take the 3 points on that one. Dana Bruce says, take Detroit and the points. So he wants Detroit and the points. So he agrees with me on Detroit. And and what's it called? Okay, no, I was thinking two things. I was thinking, wait a minute. You're saying take Detroit like the money line or take Detroit and the points? Like you got Detroit winning the game? Now that's ballsy. Or are you just saying Detroit and the points? Let's see. And by the way, are we still messed up? I guess. Don't forget to smash the hell out of the like button. Very important, by the way, before you exit at any time, smash the hell out of the like button. All right. I think we are done. I think we're history. We're in the archives. We appreciate all of you out there. As always, remember, we're going to be back at 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'll get ready. We'll be at Sports Grill in Miami Lakes. So come on out, man. Join us at Sports Grill in Miami Lakes for the Dolphins and the Bucks game. Would be nice if they can get a win. That would be absolutely phenomenal. Sean Stanley will be by my side like he always is. We'll be out there on Sunday having some fun. We appreciate the work of Sean as always. We thank all of you for tuning in. Those of you that sent us a super chat, thank you. If you sent us a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show, thank you so much for helping us and assisting us in growing. We will see you on Sunday at 11 a.m., baby. Same place, same bat channel. Y'all have a good one out there.